Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling NXT podcast. I have Jushin here via phone call due to a head cold, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than that right now.
Right. Pandemic era, man. You just stay away from folks when you don't feel good, you know? That's all you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so we're doing this via phone, so bear with us here. If you don't hear real great, we're going to do better. The demon has been reawakened is the way they start this thing off. Heavy tunes and Shotzi with a saw and metal. Oh, oh, oh! I love the saw on metal that she had. She's, dude.
Yeah.
First and foremost, Shotzi Blackheart was amazing in this.
Excellent. She did a great job.
She was your host of the evening, and she handled it perfectly. She kept it energetic, campy, fun. It was just spot on.
Elvira, Queen of the Dark.
Absolutely. She even wore a outfit that was an homage to that. She said on Twitter beforehand she was going to pay tribute to Elvira throughout the episode. Guitar solo and Damian Priest comes out. This is, you know, heavy riffs. Gargano cuts the pumpkin, the big blow up pumpkin with a razor to be the party pooper that he is. He got a dope.
They spin the wheel.
Yes, they do spin the wheel, and we get a Devil's Playground match, which is some form of a street fight thing, right?
False count anywhere street fight kind of a thing.
Yeah. Priest wore. They mentioned that Priest loved Sting, and I wanted to point out to you that he wore Sting's black gloves that he would wear during his matches during the Crow years. Because I know you're a big Sting guy.
Yeah.
Ish.
That happened.
Yes. Okay.
That probably is why the ending of this match happened, too.
The what now?
I'm saying that's probably why he lost.
Ah, okay. Yeah. The match is pretty good. Then they get outside the ring. Kendo stick spots happen. Coffin. He super kicks the dead body that falls out of the coffin. Johnny does fire extinguisher door spot. You know, all the classic stuff. They fight into the ring, outside of the ring. They fight up onto the stage area. It's
the
brutal
graveyard.
Yes, you get good wrestling for a little bit, and then you get the brutal spots, and then you get both. Johnny is more vicious in these spots, which you would guess he would have to be, being the smaller guy and being Johnny's character in general. And when Priest begins to look like he may impose his will on this match, a large hooded person with a scream mask comes out. Hits Priest, puts him down, then hands Gargano a tombstone, I believe, which gets broken over Priest's head, and you get the
straight out of the first WWE video game I ever played with the Undertaker's like special move is beating the head with the tombstone.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course he goes over because you don't kick out of that spot. The tombstone to the face spot. You never kick out of that one.
All the way off the stage, too. You fell through the little house thing.
Absolutely. I love this match.
Yeah, do you think that's on... I was thinking that's old Austin Theory.
Man, he looked bigger than Austin Theory. But with Johnny being the one that was actually standing, he may not have been. That's a good call on your part. That is a good. Austin Theory needs something to do too. You know, and
the Gargano way may be how he gets, you know, his mojo back.
Well, and he's got such a great move set. If you were to let him kind of get the Gargano rub here, and have that, dude, that's a good call on your part. I hope that's what they're doing right here. I hope that's what they're doing. Cameron Grimes is not in the best of moods. He is terrified, and Regal is incredibly creepy here, as he explains.
I love that, too, didn't you? That was great. He was so monotone.
Mm-hmm. Now,
the fan is waiting.
The van is waiting. A van, too. Ugh. I don't ever want to get in a van. Pat McAfee, and we'll get there. Pat McAfee, Happy Halloween Havoc. He had the greatest debut in the history of the business. All he could think, and all that Adam Cole could think about, wasn't to dap him up or to say, "Hey, man, you gave me all I could handle." It was to put himself over with the Undisputed stuff. And then he goes on a roll of all these different aspects of things he has to do that make him great. And then he says, "How you doing? Keep it moving." He points out that he paid he asked Rich Holland what he needed to do to get Rich Holland to take out Cole. And Ridge needed a car, so he bought him the car. And after Ridge gets hurt, we wind up getting Lurch, or as you would know them, Lorcan and Birch, who turn him down the first time. Yes. Well, it's Halloween Havoc, right? Turn him down the first time, but then they wind up coming around to his ways, and Kyle O'Reilly is not alone as he interrupts this. We have, of course, this whole promo thing has Pat McAfee, Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan in the ring. Kyle O'Reilly's coming down, and lo and behold, the bruiserweight Pete Dunne, who looks like he's lost weight in all the right spaces, looking formidable.
Dude,
yes, he's rolling down to the ring. He hands O'Reilly a chair. They're ready to take care of business, and we get the classic Shield spot, because turns out Pete Dunne ain't with Kyle O'Reilly.
I think everybody saw it coming. They still didn't care. It was great.
It was great, and they beat the snot out of that boy. And hey, if this is a faction, I'm all in. I don't need McAfee to wrestle all that much. He's pretty good at talking. And this way, too, he doesn't even have to show up for the shows. They can still be a faction when he's not there. And then he'd come in every now and then and do a promo. It's a win-win, man. And he owned this. McAfee owned this section too. This segment too.
Oh, dude, he's a revelation.
Now we're gonna go back to Grimes, who is volunteering to lose and skip the House of Horrors altogether. The creepy van shows up to pick him up, and Michael P.S. Hayes gets out, and he gives us the standard, "I'm from Bad Street, USA." You know why it's Bad Street, USA? Because the further down the street you go, the badder it got, and I lived on the last house on the right. And then he says something to the effect, "Are you going with me?" And he's like, "Nope, I ain't going down there." And I don't know where P.S. gets his clothes, but Lord, that looked like some form of rayon from head to toe in orange.
I'm fairly certain some of that causes cancer.
Hopefully he wore like a suit under it.
Yes.
To protect him.
There's some asbestos and some of that stuff he's wearing.
Jake Atlas versus Santos Escobar in his Rey Mysterio pants with his face painted as the Day of the Dead. We do get the cartwheel DDT spot. Mendoza and Wild pull the leg as they're outside of the ring watching. And eventually, Mendoza hits him with the loaded face mask, the loaded luchador mask spot outside of the ring. And our champion continues to win, this time with a, I guess it's called a butterfly face buster.
Tell me if you heard this one before. These guys don't ever lose a match.
No.
So it's kind of hard to.
No. They're going to need to at some point seem like they can lose. They're being booked strong. Yeah. Okay.
I like old Jake Atlas, though. I think he's got a lot of upside. Do I think he needs to be Dean Santos? Well, maybe not, but he's got a lot of upside.
I like everybody in this thing. I like what's happened with Wild and Mendoza. I like thinking that they're formidable. I want them to start doing tag matches. You know what I mean? And maybe that's the way you tell of them being vulnerable, is not by Escobar losing, but by, because Escobar's not winning clean. You know, so like he got carried out of there at the pay-per-view when they won. You know, he was the one who took the worst beating. But maybe they protect him in the singles competition, but then they go out and lose every now and then. So at least there's some kind of loss in the faction, right?
Yeah, something.
Another filmed promo here with Ember Moon, and Dakota Kai did exactly what she was hoping she would do. When I left, she was scared of her own shadow, and now she thinks she's the man. This is exactly what I wanted. That's fine. Let's get into that program. Shotzi Blackheart is now Elvira, and it is a haunted house of terror. We cut to Grimes and Loomis. Grimes gets out of the van, talking loudly and scaredly. He goes into a house. Loomis stalks.
Looks more like a drug den than a haunted house, but let's go with it.
Right, it's where we are. Now, Loomis stalks behind him. The ref in the corner is, of course, a zombie. Loomis attacks. Grimes winds up fleeing and locking himself in the bathroom where there is a shower and a outline of
Loomis,
a body
in, sister.
In the shower. And Grimes believes that this is his moment to take a break during the match and make a little whoopee shower with a woman he has not ever seen before, which in a whole line of bad judgments, starting with agreeing to this match, this one really glares out as when the shower.
It's a great horror movie, though. Dude. Pretty classic slasher 80s movie.
Oh, dude. And she's painted up like some form of a zombie spider woman, and she crawls out of the thing backwards, and it is creepy and scary and
I'm
all that stuff.
These people are like professionals that do one of those professional haunted houses and stuff like that. They're all dancers. You can tell by the way they moved. And stuff.
Dude.
Contortionist.
Yeah, and Loomis runs for higher ground. He does manage to free himself and get outside. When he opens the van, Loomis, who he thought was beaten up in the house, is sitting there ready to drive the van, to which he turns down the ride and begins the sprint towards the performance center.
We continue.
Back at the performance center. Gonzalez versus Rhea Ripley. And, man, Gonzalez is a great performer. Ripley's the future. I don't even think you can say Ripley's the future of the business anymore. She just is the business.
Uh-huh.
Beth Phoenix says, nobody is as physical with Rhea as Gonzalez, and I don't doubt that. This was a great big man match, but, of course, they're not men. But it really showcased a type of women's wrestling you don't get to see, where these
two really,
oh my God. And they're both so coordinated. Like the Ripley jumps onto her and she catches her and power bombs her onto the barricade screened area and then turns and power bombs her onto the ground. Ripley multiple times is able to Kenrata her. It's just so. Dude, I'd say Bayley and Sasha was best match of the week. This might have been second.
It was up there.
It was so good. Now, there's one later on that may have something to say about it, but then Ripley counters a bomb with a Kenrata and then into a Riptide for the 1-2-3, and good for her. Now, Drake is dressed as Hollywood Hogan. And we have the Giant and the Mummy show up. The Shockmaster shows. The Yeti. I'm sorry.
They messed up. Remember? Because he looked like the Mummy and they called him the Yeti.
Right. And the Shockmaster shows. And that's actually Killian Dane. And Killian won't fall. And Drake is mad because he's not doing the spot, the famous spot where they try to introduce this monster Shockmaster who breaks through a wall like the
Kool-Aid Man.
Right, which I'm supposed to think somehow the Kool-Aid Man was intimidating, and which tells you where they aired in the 80s on this. But then, of course, Drake is money, and he gets frustrated and grabs the helmet and is going to do it himself and then trips over his own 2 feet and gives us the spot anyway. I love these guys.
For those of you who've never seen the Shockmaster spot, go look it up. Ric Flair can't keep himself from dying. Hilarious.
I believe it's on the Flair for the Gold, which was Ric Flair's version of a Miz TV or whatever. Is that right?
I think it was.
Okay, okay. Now, then Lars, we get back to the undead following Grimes as he comes into the arena. He runs through a graveyard strategically close to said arena. Then winds up getting chased by the undead who come through there. They race him into the ring area. he thinks he's Loomis's sister or whatever crawls around him like four times as he stands there, like onto his shoulders, around his hips and all that. And then he presses throws her onto Grimes and gets the choke, the side slam, choke slam for the win. And then
it leaves them to get eaten by zombies.
Correct. So perfect. Tommaso Ciampa is upset with the attitudes of the youngsters today. He's amazing on the stick. This is much better than what I just said. And I'm looking forward to him working with the younger talent and whatever he wants to do. Now, if anybody in the world, I'll just say this. You go find yourself somebody that loves you as much as Triple H loves Poppy. Right? Because he breaks her out for Io Shirai every time. And I'm sure, I assume Poppy loves NXT because she always shows up. But this was, the intro was great though. You know what I mean? I made fun of. Intro was great. You know, it was completely over the top, lights flashing. She's dressed as a schoolgirl. Like, it's just well done. You know what I mean? And creepy.
She looked like, I think she was doing Go-Go from Kill Bill.
Exactly. Good call. Good call. And then we get a match here with Io Shirai as they spin the wheel for the last time. It is a table, ladders, and scare. Oh, my match. Shotzi, again, was just wonderful in all these parts. Now, we've got Io Shirai, Candice LeRae in a table, ladders, and chairs match. And this was as good as it can get.
Yeah, those were
actually
Sasha and
Bailey. We get the double their ladder spot. Go ahead.
Yeah, their pacing was so good. They didn't have a lot of, you know, breakdowns in the match too much. They had a couple things they had to work around, but some of the spots were ridiculous. The chair spots were dumped onto the chairs. Ladder spot where she got thrown. Oh my god, that was just awful.
The ending of it, of course, is Io pushes the ladder that Candice is on, and then there's a ladder between the ring apron and the announcer's table, and Candice goes through that. Io gets the belt. Io wins.
And then there was to get Candice LeRae in the first place, the other ghost face person comes out.
Oh, absolutely.
Indy Hartwell
tries to help, right.
He takes out Io and carries Candice LeRae on the top of it, just about.
Amazing. The entire match was amazing. And I want to tell you something, that this is the kind of thing you shouldn't really care about, but I think it matters, because, you know, NXT has been losing this supposed Wednesday Night War, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there have been voices out there that are silly that say, well, you know, Triple H keeps putting Io Shirai or Rhea Ripley in the main event. Well, he's putting them there because they ought to be there. Right?
They ought to.
And
best match of the night.
Here we had, on the other channel, a match between Kenny Omega and Pentagon Jr., which was a good match. And on the other TV was Io and Candice LeRae. If my numbers read correct, 33,000 people switched from AEW to NXT at that time. Turned away from Kenny Omega to watch.
Well, and there's a lot of reasons for that. And some of it is, you know, I think it's the better plot lines, better, you know, but, you know,
and they finally,
they're telling better stories right then.
Well,
in the moment.
Correct. And finally, they've for the first time in many, many weeks, had more viewers watch their show than the other show. And I'm not getting into whether or not one's better than the other. But another thing that's interesting is Deebs in her match, a lot of people turned away from it at that moment in time as well, right? And it lends itself to the way Hunter has booked women in NXT. And to a lesser degree, the way the women have been in the main events of WWE programming now for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they're perfect at this stuff. And of course, when you have Bayley and Sasha and Becky and Charlotte, it makes it easier to put them in the main event. Io Shirai. But what NXT has done is made the women's division the superior brand right now to the men's division and the tag team division on this show. But that's not something they have to worry about, because Finn Balor will get healthy. You know what I mean? These things will take care of themselves, but it's never going to be viewed as the women are in the main event, turn the channel, because their women's division is talented and it is presented in a way that makes you think it matters. As good as Serena Deebs is, and I think, shoot, she trained a bunch of these girls that are in the women's division. She trained the four horsewomen.
Oh, yeah.
But they aren't presented like they matter.
No.
You know, and it's, and you can't tell me they do, because you can tell me, it's like anything else. You can tell me anything you want to, but if you don't show me that, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't get across to me.
When Hunter Hearst Helmsley says Io Shirai is the best performer in the world right now, there's many arguments that she's not. But you know how I know he believes that?
Puts her in the main event.
Of pay-per-views. Of Wednesday night television. She is a spectacle unto herself every time she walks out there to wrestle a match, and he makes sure the spotlight is specifically on her because he believes. And therefore, when Candice LeRae gets in there, you believe too, right? And the next time, if you want to put Candice in there with Ember Moon and it not be for a title, again, it matters. Why does it matter? Because I've told you Candice matters over and over again.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I just... the way NXT does things to me is so good. You know, like you said, I mean, we all look at results and go, I would have done that differently. Or like you are right now with
Legado El Fantasma.
I'm sorry. I butchered that like that. But like you go, geez, at some point they got to lose a match, right? They can't just always win. Completely agree. You know what I mean? I would totally do that different. Does it hurt the show? No. You know what I mean? Like, of course, it's the difference between me looking at a Raw that's 3 hours and going, not this particular Raw this week, but in general, what was the purpose of those 3 hours? And me looking at this and knowing every segment. This was my favorite show of the year right now. And it was literally a gimmick show where they wanted to be campy. I'm a Halloween mark anyway. We all are. It's the best holiday.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it. It's the best holiday. You know what I mean?
If there weren't
presents involved in Christmas, don't get me wrong. I mean, obviously the message is, you know, baby Jesus and all that. I'm not trying to argue against baby Jesus here. I'm just saying, for fun's sake, especially for adults, Halloween rules.
Yeah, Halloween beats out Christmas after a certain age group.
Right, because you get to go be a kid again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the same thing here is when I'm watching this, they hit the sweet spot for me between camp and really good wrestling.
Yeah, nostalgia, you know, camp wrestling and really good wrestling.
Yes, it was perfect. Okay, man, thank you so much for being willing to call in here when you're not feeling well, Justin. I appreciate you, boy.
No, glad to do it, man.
All right. For the Go Home, this is a Go Home Heat production. For Justin, for me, KP, copyright 2020, Go Home.